open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 31. We have been going over the book of Proverbs for a little while now, but we're going to be spending quite a lot of time here in chapter 31. The last time we were here, we went through, I believe it was the first 9 verses. Today we're going to be going through verse 10 through 12. And I hope that we can get through all the way. Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 12. Now, King Lemuel's mother is talking to him and trying to explain to him how he can be a great guy, how he can be an honorable king. And she started out in the first 9 verses telling her son what he was supposed to do, how he was supposed to act, not be controlled by things or people or emotion, but be righteous and just and to do what was right. And as she continues to focus on his life, his legacy, and his morality and righteousness, now she says to him in verse 10, it is, who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all of the days of her life. Now, it's interesting because Proverbs 31 is often referred to as the verse, as a chapter for the ladies. Ladies, this is your opportunity. This is your chance to learn exactly how you're supposed to be a great wife that everyone would die to have. But I think Proverbs 31, especially verse 10, is most specifically for us guys. I mean, it's written by a guy's mom to her son to teach guys what they should be looking for. And she says here in verse 10, who can find a wife? No, that's not what she says. Who can find a, what does it say? Virtuous wife. Now, that indicates a number of different things. Let's just start there for a minute. What is a virtuous wife? Well, without getting into too much detail, let's just boil it down to brass tacks. A virtuous wife is a wife of character, right? So without going into the details, she's a woman of character instead of just looks or abilities or money, right? Or fame or fortune. It's a woman of character. It's somebody who actually lives a certain lifestyle. Whatever that lifestyle is, it's not been defined, but we just know it's a woman of character, okay? To just kind of boil it down, make it as simple and basic as possible. Now think about that for just a second, because she says, who can find a woman like that? Is she indicating that there are not very many of them? Well, I think that's a problem. That there's not a whole lot of people in the world today looking to have a good character. They look to have other things, right? I have yet to find a woman spend as much time in the morning preparing her character for the day as she does her makeup and her clothes and herself with the shower and the makeup and deodorant and the perfume and everything else and the hair and everything's done. Think about it, ladies. How much time do you invest every day in your outward appearance? And yet your character is something that many times in the morning, maybe the only thing you do to prepare your character for the morning is to get a cup of coffee so you don't be mean to everybody. Maybe that's the extent of your preparation of your character. We have a sign in our house. It says, all I need is a little bit of coffee and a whole lot of Jesus. But think about it. Now, it is true, finding men or women of character is a difficult thing nowadays, isn't it? This isn't just on the ladies, this is on everybody. But I think that what King Lemuel's mom is trying to get across to him isn't just that women of character are not easy to find, but that you are supposed to be looking for a woman of character. You are supposed to be opening your eyes and searching out, looking at character rather than these other things that really don't matter as much. And I believe that's what the focus is here in verse 10. I want you to consider this. When you're looking for something, I have known people who buy cars because of their color. Hey, you got a new car. Yeah, it's green. So how many horsepower is it? I don't know, it's green. They're so excited about their green car. Or they buy a car because it looks cool, but then it, remember the Dodge Viper? Remember those things? Those things are terrible cars, but they look cool. You ever seen one on the road lately? No. They were a cool design. They even got it featured in a TV show. They got famous really quick, but in the end, what happened? It wasn't going to get you anywhere. We were just the other night talking, my kids were all talking about what kind of car that they want. One said, I want a Lamborghini. And they said, what brand is a Lamborghini? I'm like, it's a Lamborghini. Someone else said they wanted, I forget what. They had all these fancy cars. And you know, the more expensive the car is, the more expensive the maintenance is and the gas and the upkeep and everything else. And so if you buy a Ferrari or if you buy an Aston Martin or whatever, not only do you have the expensive purchase price, but you have the expensive upkeep. And if anything breaks, or if you ever get into an accident, and guess what? People will hit you in an Aston Martin just as much as they'll hit you in a Corolla. And so in the end, it's you have to think about what are you getting. You're getting the wow factor, but you're not getting something as dependable. You're not getting something that's reliable. You're not getting something that is efficient, and you're absolutely not getting something that won't get stolen, right? And so a lot of times, we have a tendency to look at how shiny something is. We have a tendency to look at what color something is. And with people, we're the same. That's why I hate that term, love at first. Love at first sight is the epitome of not looking to someone's character. Love at first sight is falling in love with a superficial, terrible idea and pursuing a person based on that rather than their character. And this is a problem in the world today. Let's talk for a minute about what marriage is, because he's saying, who can find a virtuous wife? So let's talk about marriage. Why do people get married? Think about that for just a second. Why do people, don't answer it out loud, you might get in trouble. Because they're lonely. Or that's a reason why people get married, right? People are lonely. They don't want to live alone. They want to live with someone else. They want to have a relationship. They want to build on that relationship. They want a partnership maybe or whatever it is. They have this idea of companionship. They're just lonely. Okay? Sears, Roebuck, and Co., they caught on to this. And in their 1869 catalog, I have a reprinted copy of it at home. They have mail order brides. Because guys who were out west and they were working in mines or they were working in these little towns, had nobody, they were alone, they could mail order a bride. And they'd have companionship. Once again, not really character. Now, there's other reasons why people get married. The Bible says if you burn with passion for one another, then you should get married. So another reason people get married is because they burn with passion and they need the sexual relationship. They want a sexual relationship. There's sexual attraction there. That's another reason why people get married. And these are not wrong reasons to desire marriage, but they are, I believe, wrong reasons for you to just pick someone individually to get married. The problem becomes, if you can't control yourself sexually, and if you can't control your emotions and your depression and be content with Jesus, then you'll never be content with another person. And you'll always have these issues even after you get married. So you need to look at your reasoning for wanting to get married and say, look, marriage is a good thing, but I don't want to get married because of compulsion. I want to get married because it's right and it's good. And if you can't control yourself, then you'll end up allowing yourself to get into a situation where you're marrying the wrong person. Instead of marrying for character, you're marrying for another reason. And she says, who can find a virtuous wife? Well, I think one of the biggest hindrances to finding a virtuous wife for many people is what? It's the fact that we allow our compulsions to force us into marriage rather than looking at what God has designed for us. And I want to challenge you, if you're not married, if you're married, you can't find another wife or a husband. But if you're not married, then take the time to get control of yourself, number one. The key to a great marriage starts with you. The key to a great marriage starts with you getting in control of your life and your desires and your emotions, and you becoming content with Jesus and intent on serving him, and that you're not allowing sexuality to control who you are. See, I'm not defined by sexuality, and I'm not defined by my looks. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm not defined by my intellect, and I'm not defined by how many accomplishments I've done. The only thing I should be defined by today is Jesus Christ. That's what should define me. And that's what should define you. And unless that becomes the basis of who you are, you will never find a good wife. You will never find a good husband, because you are focusing on the wrong aspects of life. Why do so few people find a virtuous or a wife of character? Because they're too busy focused on the wrong things. What focuses you on the wrong things? We talked a little bit about this morning in church. Each one is drawn away by his own desires. Get in control of yourself before you move on to the next step. Why? If you don't, you'll not find a good one. You'll find a one. You'll just find someone, not a good one. And this is so important. Ask the Lord to lead you, and ask him to focus your heart on what's right rather than what's available. So, who can find a woman of character? This is an awesome opportunity for you to challenge yourself. When you're looking for a spouse, what should you be looking for? You should be looking for someone of character. This is where young ladies most often get hoodwinked. He says he loves me. So what's he like? Oh, well, he works at a bar and he rides a Harley, and nothing wrong with Harleys. But if you're in a biker gang working at a bar, you drink, you smoke, you do drugs, you have all these issues in your life, and then all of a sudden, but he loves me. What does that tell me? Well, as somebody on the outside looking in, I see that you are desperate to have companionship. You're desperate to have someone who loves you, but you're not looking at character. So your desire to be wanted and loved is causing you to settle for something that's not great, because you're allowing your desires to get in the way of what's good and right and holy. Now, this is on the guy side. Guys, God wants you to look for a woman of character. Now let's think about this. Let's turn this on the other side. And ladies, let's talk about what that means. Every once in a while, we have a young lady come to our church who's different from the rest. And every once in a while, you'll see all of the young men fighting over her. Why? Because it's not because she's the most beautiful. Not that she's ugly, but it's not because of her looks. And it's not because of her smarts, and it's not because of any of these other things. You know what it really is? Her character. This is somebody who serves and who loves Jesus and who does great things, and she's always a pleasure to be around, and everyone likes this person, and everybody is comfortable with this person. They don't see her backbiting or arguing or being contentious or mean or doing any of these other things. She's just sweet and loving, submissive to her authorities or to those who are over her, but she's caring and she serves others. And when that kind of a girl comes around, all the guys just kind of attack like piranhas. And you see it, it's kind of hilarious. So guys, lay off just a little bit, okay? But what happens is, ladies, what is the most attractive thing in the world is character. Listen, low-cut blouses, hiked up mini skirts, tight fitting clothes are going to attract men. That is very true. You're going to attract all kinds, you're going to have a large quantity of men to choose from, but they're all terrible people. Okay? And you're attracting the worst side of society. You're attracting the worst part of society when you do that. Don't let your clothing attract people. Don't let your position in society attract people. Don't let the thing that defines and focuses you be things that are not your character. And if you really want to attract the right kind of guy, then you need to have a character that is loving, patient, kind, gentle, that serves, and that does the right thing. That's what, now, maybe you're already married. This could be a problem for you if you're already married. Pastor, I'm already married, now what? Guys, did you know that the Bible says wash your wives in the word? Let me just ask you a question. Have you ever given somebody a bath? How many of you have given somebody a bath? No parents here? Come on. How many of you have given somebody a bath? You never given your kids a bath? Right? Have you given yourself a bath? Okay, raise your hands if you've given someone a bath, including yourself. Now, how many of you have been given a bath and you can remember it was pretty terrible? Anybody? When somebody gets in there and they try to scrub you down with, you know, a bristle pad or something and just sandpaper and no, that's awful. It's terrible. You don't want someone, when you give someone a bath, you have to be gentle, right? You don't want to hurt them. You don't want to scrape them or anything like that. So you have to wash them gently and you have to slowly remove the dirt consistently. You have to submerge their body in the water and then you slowly rub the soap all over their body. You slowly rinse them off. You try not to get it into their eyes or their ears or their mouth or their nose where it will scare them or hurt them. You have to be gentle, patient, caring, loving when you bathe someone. And he says, husbands, wash your wives in the word. Be gentle, caring, patient, not adding the word to their eyes like salt and grinding it into their open wounds and drowning them in the word. But he says, wash your wives in the word. Read it to them, study it with them, teach them and expect it from them in a gentle way that you would affect their character. So it's not too late. You can always change your life and your spouse. And ladies, you can change who you are today. You don't have to live just with the outward actions and the outward stuff. You can actually change by focusing your heart on Jesus and changing and building your character in Him. Now, the rest of the chapter is dedicated to talk about the character of a virtuous wife. What is a virtuous wife? So I'm not going to get too into detail tonight about what a virtuous woman is, because we're going to look at that going forward. But the fact that we're supposed to be looking for virtuous women, that you're supposed to be a virtuous wife. And here's an interesting thing. As Christians, we are the bride of Christ. We are to have character. What should define us in the church is not a building. It's not the denomination. It's not a suit on Sunday morning or an acrylic pulpit. Or the quantity of people. What should define our church is our character. What should define us as the bride of Christ is that we are virtuous, that we are loving and caring, serving, submissive, that we love our Lord, that we serve Him with all that we are. That should define us as the church. We should be a church of character, not just flashy buildings or light shows during the worship. And I was at a church recently at a conference and they had laser beams and they had smoke machines and lights everywhere. And man, I got to tell you, I was frustrated because I'm sitting here and I didn't realize at the time when I sat down, I'm there and I'm trying to raise my hands to worship and all of a sudden, psh, the smoke machine's right next to me. And I'm like, really? I felt like unplugging that cord. I'll show you, unplug the Chevette thing. It's the Chevette is the brand of the smoke machine. Just unplug it. Wait for the sound guy to come finding out what's wrong with your smoke machine. You had one in the first place. That's what's wrong with your smoke machine. That shouldn't, you know, look, if you're going to a concert, fine. If you're going to see Mercy Me in concert, or you're going, that great, awesome. But it's not what should define us as Christians. It's just like saying a good musician is not defined by the brand of instrument they play, but the way they play their instrument. And what should define you is the way you live your life, the character that you have. Who can find a virtuous wife? The Lord paid every price for you. You specifically. He gave up everything for you. What kind of a person are you? Did He get a prize spouse. And so he says, who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth, she goes on to say, is, and I love this about how she does this. She says, her worth is far above rubies. Now, just going for a little bit on this idea, her worth is far above rubies. When a man finds a wife who has character, she will be much, much more valuable to him than all of the money in the world. Because he can, it goes on to say, his heart safely trusts her. Now that trust goes two ways. Why does he safely trust her? And I find two reasons for this. Number one, because of her character, and we'll look at that in a minute. But number two, because he took the time to find one of character, and he can trust that he made the right choice. Think about this. How many of you have ever bought a car? How many of you bought the first car you found? Purple Sebring. Purple Sebring, Dominic. One day I got a call from Dominic. And he says, Pastor, will you go with me? I'm going to test drive a car. I'm like, yeah, let's go. It was a purple Sebring convertible. So we're on our way over there and I'm driving him. And I said, okay, let's pray, Dominic. We got to pray about this. And so we're praying. And I prayed, and God, don't give him the car he wants, but give him the car he needs. And God, if you want him to have a bad car that needs all these repairs, that's a trial for him, that he would learn to rely upon you, give him that car. And he's looking at me while I'm driving like I'm crazy. And I told him, I said, look, whatever God wants, ask for that. Don't look for what you want, just ask for what God has for you. Long story short, Dominic got his purple Sebring. He gave the guy the money, did the test drive, everything was perfect. The second the guy had the money and Dom had the pink slip, it would not start. It was the most awesome trial in his life. The one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. That's what I called it. It's this purple, ugly Sebring convertible. And it was a trial from the day he got it until the day he got rid of it. But you know what? Maybe you have a bad car buying experience. Maybe you have, I've seen people buy the first thing that they could find, just, oh, that, I'll take it. Not because it was good, but because it was there, right? And I've seen people do that with all kinds of stuff. They do things without research. And so what ends up happening is they get this thing, and what really bugs me are those people who go out and they buy a car or they buy something, they try it out, they take it back, they get another one, they try it out, they take it back. You know what I mean? They go through like 50 of them before they kind of settle on something that's mediocre. You could do it with anything, shoes, guitars, you could do it with houses, you can do it with, you know, you don't look at the area that you want to buy a house in, you just buy a house in any house that you find instead of the house that you want, and then you end up selling that house and having to move somewhere else because you don't like the neighborhood, and you have to, you know, you keep doing it. We have a tendency to buy what's here and now. That's why Amazon, they're the only company in the world that can invent their own day, their own Christmas sale in July. Prime Day, and it's only to sell Amazon branded products. It's a monopoly and it's perfectly legal, and they came up with the idea. No wonder they're making billions. And we do it, we go on there, oh yeah, I'll try that, no, I'll try this. And usually if you haven't done your research first, what happens? You end up not being so in love with the product that you bought. You ever do that? And so when you buy something, if you're buying an instrument, if you're buying a vehicle, if you're buying something, normally the more time you put into research and finding out what this item is and how good is it and what does everybody else say about it and talking to people about it and checking it out, what happens? You're going to be more comfortable with that product long term than you would have with a product that you just got on a whim. That's also true of people. When you don't look at someone's character, when you don't look at the person that you're getting married to, that you're going to spend the rest of your life with, what a lot of times happens is if you just look at the superficial things, when you get married and you've not talked about the deep and personal and important things, when you don't know what their character's like, then you don't trust them. You can't. You have no basis, no foundation for trust. And the problem becomes, if you can't trust them, it's not just on them, it's also on you. You see, I am fully convinced that in Christ we need to do something. We need to, number one, we need to seek good character, and we need to, number two, have good character, but we need to pray about the person that we're going to marry and be sure that this person is the right person for us before we go through with it. His heart safely trusts her. He's assured of her continued commitment to him. Now that's important, that stability. But notice, that's the first reason, is that he has done his homework. He knows this is a woman of character. I can trust this person. So let me ask you, are you someone who's trustworthy? Do you have a history of being trustworthy? Do you have that character? Because the second issue here is, she does him good and not evil all of the days of his life. Now think about that statement right there. By showing of hands, ladies, how many of you have done good and not evil to your husband every single day since you got married? Not a hand went up. Mom, not even you? It's hard, isn't it? Think about that statement right there. He comes home late for work, didn't call you. You held dinner. And when he walked in the door, he's tired, he's frustrated from work, and there you are, waiting to greet him. And instead of a kiss and a hug and saying, I've been waiting for you, is, where have you been? I've been waiting. Or maybe it's something else, I don't know. There is something to be said, and I want to make this abundantly clear. Guys, you need to make sure you can trust your spouse, and you need to trust the Lord with your spouse. But there is something to be said of us being trustworthy. I love what Dr. Emerson Eggerichs says in his book, Love and Respect. And if you've not read it and you're married, you need to read that book. But what Dr. Emerson Eggerichs said was, he says, is your spouse an evil person? Are they evil? Now, the test he uses is, would you trust them with the kids? How many of you would trust your spouse with the kids? How many of you would say that they're generally good-hearted and they generally want the best thing for your family? Okay, now I know who needs counseling. Whoever's not raising your hands. Now think about that. Does your spouse really want to kill you? You might fight, you might argue, you might think they want to kill you. But in the end, if they're generally loving and they generally want what's best for you, then give them the benefit of the doubt. See, I think a problem in our hearts is that we don't give our spouses the benefit of the doubt. We assume that they're evil. We assume that they wanted to hurt us, that they meant to hurt our feelings, that they meant to undermine us, that they meant to disrespect us, that they meant to do these things. Therefore, we don't trust them. Not because they're untrustworthy, but because we are untrusting, and there's a difference. And if you live a life of bitterness and frustration, then you will never trust anyone else. And that's not on the other people around you, that's on you. But you see, a person who's looking for godly character, seeking out godly people, investing, and who's denying their own desires in order to make sure that they find the right thing up front, that kind of a person is not an untrusting person. It's somebody who has character of their own. And unless you have character, you won't find a spouse of character. Have you ever noticed that people that are married even start to look the same? They look alike? Have you noticed this? I want you to think about that right now. Now, I'm looking at all of you. And you might have started out so different, but you know what's funny in my brain? And now you're going to start looking at people and it's going to mess you up. People who are married start looking alike. They do. They start looking alike. Have you noticed this? Has anybody else besides me noticed this? Well, get ready to live, because it's going to be amazing as you leave here today. You're going to start looking at people and you're going to say, I don't look like my husband. Oh, yes, you do. Because, and it's not that you actually had any physical resemblance to your husband, but that as people get to know you, we associate you and your spouse together. And so our brain makes whatever connection it has to make, and you guys start to look alike. And you start to talk alike, right? And you start to think the same way and get the same sense of humor and all this other stuff. And what ends up happening is you become very similar because the two shall become one. You, if you are a person of character, will find a spouse of character. And if you are not a person of character, then you will not have a spouse of character. Here's something else. If your spouse is someone of no character, but you pursue Christ, did you know the Bible says that your character can change theirs? That if you are married to an unbeliever or are someone of no character or of ill repute, then you can actually change their life and their heart by being someone who is virtuous, who is character, has the character of Christ. And you may not have the best situation at home right now, but what you can do is give Jesus your heart and pursue him no matter what. So she says, who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. Now this last thing I want to talk about is this lack of gain. What is that all about? There is something about fighting with your spouse and then going to work that really ruins your productivity. How many of you guys can agree with that? Get in an argument with your spouse, then you try to go to work, and you just, you can't do it, can you? You get frustrated, you get irritated, you're not very productive, you just got a lot of issues. Nothing works out well. Do you guys realize that if you work on your marriage, you will improve your career, you will improve your financial status, you will improve your ability to make better decisions? Because whenever there's conflict, we devote a lot of our brain power to that, right? How many of you would agree to that? Whenever there's conflict in your marriage, you devote a lot of your attention and your focus to that. And whether it's, I want to kill him, or I can't believe she did that or said that or whatever it is, then we can't focus. We're not very productive. So what ends up happening? We lack gain. We don't improve in our career, or we don't improve in our finances, or we go out and do stupid things like spend $1,000 on a tree or something. I don't know. Something ridiculous that you shouldn't have done, but you do it anyway out of impulse because, well, you're frustrated. And it says that his heart will safely trust her and he will have no lack of gain. You see, they're working together. They're focused on the right things and he can do what's right and what's true. And when God is just trying to constantly win our hearts back to him, when God is constantly trying to get our attention again, that's all time that he's not sending us out to evangelize or minister or love other people and take care of other people. Whenever we walk away from Christ and we stop listening to Jesus, or God has to come back and rattle us a little bit to get us to wake up and focus on him. Whenever that's going on in our lives, when we backslide and when we're doing all these things, we're not progressing in our walk with Christ. We're not building the kingdom. We're not pursuing his designs. And that's a sad thing, and it's the same thing in our Christian walk. As we pursue Christ and as we focus on Christ, what ends up happening is that we will succeed more because we're just focusing on the right things. But if you're sidetracked with the world and all the stuff that's going on there, then obviously that's not going to happen. Here, Lemuel's mom tells him to have a couple, she tells him a couple of things. Be a man of character. Join yourself to a person of character, a woman of character. Focus together on the task at hand. And love each other. And if you can do that, then you'll be successful. And I want to challenge you in your marriage to focus on Christ in your marriage, to focus on your character. You can't change your spouse's character, but you can change yours. And if your character is honorable, then your spouse's character will most likely be honorable as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time in your word, and we pray that you just give us your fills with your Holy Spirit. And Father, as we come before you, We pray that you would just allow us to serve you with all things and, Lord, love you. So as we come before you, Lord, we thank you for the love that you had for us and how you put up with us so much and how, Lord, you continue to work on us that we would be men and women of character. We give you all things in Jesus' name. Amen.